And a big hello again, everybody. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. The number, as always, to call is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. I am Russ Salzberg, joined by my buddy, Paulie Dutz, Paul Dottino. And it's a new beginning, my friend. It's Spags takes over for the final four games. Who knows what brings these final four games, but it's a new beginning, if you will, because that's what was done. We move forward, and we'll see what happens these last four games.
You know, I think, Russ, regardless of the personalities or the names involved, you and I have been in this business for a long time and have seen many coaching changes in many different sports over the years. More often than not, and it's not a guarantee, but more often than not, a coaching change does bring a different energy, a different mentality. People get shaken up by it. And again, more often than not, there is at least a momentary boost. Will that be enough to help this team? Who knows?
No, but I, in the short term, when I say the short term, we're talking about Sunday, 1 o'clock, MetLife Stadium.
1 o'clock, by the way, folks. Yes. Remember, the game was moved.
Right. 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Sunday, MetLife against the Cowboys. There's always emotion because there are a couple of factors, a few factors that are involved. One, players need to look themselves in the mirror. Some will take responsibility. Others may not. But, you know, as Eli himself said after the game on Sunday, In you know, the post-game locker room, when people were asking him about the possibility at the time of, you know, the rumors that Ben was going to be fired, and Eli said, I don't want that to happen, and it's not a good thing when it happens, because when it happens, it usually means players aren't doing their job. So certain people are going to look in the mirror, and they'll be motivated by it. Did you see Snacks, Harrison, his I don't know if you saw his tweet, you know, thanking Reese and thanking Ben and for bringing me and my family and what you've done for us. Loyalty is a big thing. It's a bad day for me. So I think people like that can be motivated. That's one factor. I think the stadium is going to be motivated. We haven't heard officially, folks, but you're reading and hearing everything that we've read and heard. And it would be a major upset if the announcement didn't come when we hear officially from Steve Spagnuolo
at
2 o'clock, Eli will be back playing quarterback. And let me tell you something. We're talking about a 2-10 football team. If Eli comes out, or I will say when he comes out, that place is going to be revved up. So really, at what you say, Paulie, in the short term, there could be a lot of emotion here. Listen, in fairness to Spags, this is not, and John Mara said it at the press conference, you know, it's not a fair to just make an assessment on these last four games. Does he have to win these four games? We're talking about he's not playing with a gun loaded with bullets.
Not a full deck.
No, really.
Not at all.
But it's just how people react, how they play hard. I think those are all the things you have to look for.
You know, I think one of the aspects of this that, you know, in a lot of ways we've overlooked, as the Giants have continued to lose bodies and basically drag guys off the street to try to play on Sunday, even John Mara said this the other day in his press conference, and I know you were there as well, Russ. John said, with the exception of maybe one or two games, he saw effort from everybody who put on that uniform every week. You know, for the most part, there's certainly been some players who have had some lackluster performances and maybe, you know, wasn't always pedal to the metal. But as a team, as a unit, John said maybe there were one or two games where as a team and as a whole, they didn't max out. But these guys have tried hard. And I see no reason why they won't continue to try hard or even harder now that they've got these four games to go with an evaluation period staring them right in the face.
Couldn't agree with you more. I mean, look. Anybody who knows John Mara was pained a great deal to have to let go of both. You know, fans, you might have your own opinions, but I'm telling you, John Mara, it pained him greatly to say goodbye to Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese. I mean, Jerry Reese has got a 23-year relationship with. He feels both of them in his heart. He knows that they're both good men and quality people and good at what they do. John's assessment that this year was a perfect storm is without question the right attitude to take on it, because it has been a perfect storm. They got off to a lousy start. It was awful. They lost after the first two games. They lost a couple with last second field goals. It snowballed after that, the injuries, and that's where we are. We are at 2-10. Go ahead.
But you know what, Russ? I will tell you this, for all the Giants fans who are still contemplating whether or not they're going to come out Sunday, I think you need to come out, because they're playing the Dallas Cowboys, a team that beat them in week one of the regular season already. Mm-hmm. Giants certainly don't want to get swept by Dallas. And if you want to talk about any pride in that locker room at all, you know that between the potential quarterback change, between the change in the administration, between Dallas coming in here, and by the way, Dallas hasn't been playing all that well lately either. They just ended a three-game winning streak by beating the Washington Redskins this past week. This team can be had, and the Giants can certainly elevate themselves with a feel-good feeling, if nothing else. You know, I will tell you, I know a lot of Giants fans who have messaged us or called us on the show and said, oh, this team has just gone downhill. It's been a spiral. I've lost interest. I don't know if I want to go to the game. I've sold my tickets, blah, 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 blah. Folks, I honestly believe there's going to be a lot of reasons to be excited on Sunday, and I think you're going to want to be there.
Well, listen, I mean, you still play for the team. You still root for the team. It's not the individuals, because no matter who's your favorite player, eventually that favorite player leaves.
Yeah.
It could be the best, the worst, the in-between. You're rooting for your team, and you want to support your team. And this team just went through a drastic, drastic change. And if you are a Giants fan, and I know, you know, I see some of the names up already, I know you are Giants fans, you want to go and support your team. Before we talk about the rest of the team and get into the phone calls, why don't you, Paulie, because we were talking about it before, talk about the event Sunday.
Yeah, on Sunday, the Giants are going to hold their 22nd annual coat and hoodie drive at the stadium. So, folks, if you have any gently worn or new coats, vests, sweaters, Russ.
Yep. There you go. Now you're dating your age there, buddy.
That you might have had in the bottom of your closet or in the back of your closet, or maybe it's in a bag because you bought it 10 years ago and you never took the tag off it, you never decided to wear it. Go take a look and see if you have something like that, because the Giants will be collecting them at the gates a couple hours before the game at MetLife Stadium on Sunday, and those garments will go to people who need help for the winter, folks who need some warmth, they need some clothing, unfortunate people throughout the metropolitan area who certainly could use a helping hand. So we appreciate all your support and anything that you could do to bring some of those garments out to the game on Sunday.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I forgot about that some years back. My wife said to me, what the hell are we going to do with all these sweaters? And sure enough, I brought them for one of the coat
drives.
So, yeah, we encourage everybody to do that. It is the holiday time, and not everybody's as fortunate, you know, as the next person. So whatever you can do would be much appreciated. Again, the number, as always, is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is #GiantsChat. Let's open up the phone lines with our friend from up in Syracuse, Chris. Chris, this time it's Paulie Dotz and Russ Salzberg. How you doing today?
Good, guys. How are you?
Hi. Hello.
Hi. I don't even know if I really had much of a point to
Chris, hang on one second. Is there something wrong with your phone? Because it's a horrible connection.
The battery must be dying.
Hold on a second.
There you go. That sounds a tad better.
That's better?
Yes, sir. Much better.
Okay. I don't know if I even had a whole much of a point to call, other than to say my wife has pleasingly used the word pathetic when she's described me as a Giants fan, because of how, you know, I went.
Chris, I don't mean to cut you off, buddy. You got to call us back with a better connection, because it's just not working. Okay, so
all right.
So please call us back. We'll get you up, you know, as soon as we can. It's just you're not coming through clear. So I apologize, but feel free to call back. All right, let's go to Connecticut and chat with Marco. How you doing today, Marco?
Mark. Hi. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you,
we
Marco.
Got you. The batteries are working in his phone.
Yep.
Hi, no, sorry. It's Richie from Long Island.
Okay.
Okay.
No, sorry. It just got confused. I didn't hear you. No, just want to talk about, like you guys were saying the past couple of days, some fans, you know, always want bloodshed, but the fact that Reese was here 23 years in the organization, put his hard work ethic, overall professionalism was definitely greatly appreciated, by my part at least.
Good for you, Richie. I'm glad you could say that, because that's something that people should say and realize.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, you guys got a family, you know, we're getting close to the holidays, you know, things. It's an unfortunate event, you know. I don't like seeing people lose their jobs, but, you know, it's just, I guess, changes had to be made. One thing I'm still kind of, you know, a little upset about is, I know Mara said it. I know Mara says that he usually doesn't intervene, you know, but, you know, with, like, you know, coaching decisions. But I feel like Eli should be the exception to that fact. You know, what he means to this franchise, what he's been, you know, maybe he should have made the decision to interject, because maybe even at that time, you know, we don't know for sure, but they were already leaning towards, you know, taking the actions towards McAdoo and after the game.
Well,
maybe, you know.
But you know what, Richie? I understand your point. And in fairness, it was bungled. The situation with Eli was bungled the way it was presented. The however to that, Rich, is this. Including John Mara, including Ben, including Jerry, and including other members of the coaching staff, everybody understood that something needed to be done to see what the quarterbacks, you know, the other quarterbacks could do. Now, It was bungled. I'm sure you're in agreement, the attitude could have, should have been, okay, Eli, we're putting Eli in. Maybe we don't even say anything to Eli. We just put him in. We'll see how the game is going. And if the game is going, okay, you know, we'll take him out at some point, maybe if they're losing, if they're winning. Well, but when, you know what, let's think about that. What's done is done. But, you know, I've rehashed it and rehashed it. We all have the last few days since it happened. Okay, let's say the Giants, when this assessment was made, the 2-10, they were 2-9 at the time. So the chances of the Giants winning big in any games was not going to be good. And if they're losing, and let's say they're losing close, do you want to take them out? And then you're not going to get a chance to see your quarterback. I said this yesterday, Rich. I will say it again today. Phil Simms said it best. And quite frankly, he's the only guy who I heard make sense. Phil Simms said nothing at all could have been the right way. When you make this kind of change, nothing at all would have been right, would have been satisfactory to anybody. And I, you know what?
What would have been a little bit lesser is, and this is, you know, all in likelihood, a more probable scenario, is the Giants losing by a lot and you taking Eli out. I felt like he still earned the right, you know, to still be the starting quarterback. And because, what, you know, let's face it, what fair assessment are you going to get from the two quarterbacks given the, you know, the players that are on the roster right now due to injuries and whatnot?
I agree with that. But, you know, Paul, chime in. At the same point, we're talking about getting a high draft pick. You need to know whether it's fair or not. We were saying that. See, Paul and I were saying earlier in the year, so see, all the people who went nuts over the Eli situation, we were taking tons of calls. Oh, you got to put in Davis Webb. You got to put in this guy. And Paul and myself were bringing up the point, Paul, how fair would that be? What kind of assessment? But now, with the situation being, if you will, out of hand, you know, not in the picture, so now it's you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And somebody brought out a good point. I don't know if you heard this. And Rich, tell us what you think as well. Somebody brought out an excellent point. I read it over the weekend. What would have happened? Think about this. What would have happened if that 2-9, nothing was said about benching anybody, Eli was your quarterback in Oakland, and Khalil Mack or somebody tackles, sacks him, all of a sudden Eli's knee is ripped up or his shoulder is separated. God forbid. Do you know what the headline would have been the next day? Why the hell was Eli Manning in that position behind a weak offensive line and a 2-9 team? Am I right?
Completely,
would have been some of those stories.
Chad Wheeler, that right tackle. Yeah, how dare you?
There you go, Rich.
There would have been some of those stories too. And you know, but you know why? Because the headline writers and the general media and the Twitterverse love negativity. They will find a reason to scorch you no matter what happens.
I mean, Richie, I ran out, got my newspapers, which I do every morning. I took a look at the back page of the New York Daily News today. Eli's return puts Giants in a pickle. They still need to give Davis a start. The Daily News, who was leading the charge and killing McAdoo and the organization over the benching of Eli, now says, after we find out pretty much that Eli is going to be the starter, now they say Davis Webb has to start the last four games. Well, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, my friend.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, obviously things could have always been handled better, and there would have been nothing. But the most likely scenario is that, considering Eli's injury streak, would have been that maybe the Giants were losing by a good amount,
right,
and then you pull them in the third quarter or fourth quarter to get, a taste of Geno Smith or Davis Webb. That would have been the most likely, but I'm just happy, Eli's back in. That crowd is going to be roaring this Sunday. I can't wait to see the game.
All right, Rich.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you for the call. All right, let's hope we got a better connection with our buddy Chris up in Syracuse. Chris?
How's that? Better?
You sound like a charm now, buddy.
Okay. So I was just calling, I guess, to say my wife has used the word pathetic playfully to describe me as a Giants fan because
I've heard many other words over my time in the house.
Hey, Chris, as long as she's describing you pathetic as a fan and not as a husband, that's okay.
That's right, yeah. Well, she couldn't understand until we talked a little bit why I was kind of emotional and choked up about the whole situation with Eli last week. But we kind of talked about it, so whatever. So I'm obviously very glad that he's back in. Last week marked the first time I ever in my entire life deliberately didn't watch a game, and it was the most painful, hard thing to do as a fan that I'd been through, and I had made the commitment that I wasn't going to do it until
right. –
they moved on from McAdoo and Reese. That was just my feelings because I'm a fan of what Giants pride and about doing the right thing. And I just felt like it was completely out of character and wrong. If nothing else, I mean, I was already to a point that said, hey, if we move on from Eli in the offseason, I can accept that. But I felt that he had earned the right to go out on his shield. And that's what I think he wanted. I don't think he even wants to go at all, but I'm saying obviously he wanted to play. And so I'm glad it was a one-game boycott because, boy, it could have been real rough on me if they had
right.
stuck it out for quite a while. But I wanted to say that John Mara's a smart businessman. I think three out of the last four games being at home had a big impact on making the move now. He said that, he even said it.
Well, Chris, I will say this, though. People could think what they want to think, and I'll even say this about, John. He knew it was going to be ugly. He knew that they were going to make a change at the end of the year. The decision was made, and with the uproar that was caused over to Eli's situation, it got ugly. But I'll tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, in his heart, he also did, if he was going to do it anyway, he did it for the benefit of Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese, so they didn't have to hear the ugliness that for sure they would have heard for those three home games that are left the rest of the season.
Oh, I believe that. And really, the team in Mara is sitting in an excellent position right now because I, for one, hope that Eli comes out and lights it up, especially now that Shepard's healthy and hopefully Pugh's back. I mean, we can't highlight enough the fact that Geno played pretty well from what I had seen. Like I said, I didn't watch the game.
He did okay. Other than the two costly fumbles, he did okay.
Right. But he had Shepard and he had Ingram not dropping everything. And Eli's been out there with not one real high caliber receiver now in, for weeks, except for in San Francisco, where I thought that he played pretty well. But so the whole point I'm making is hopefully Eli does great. But if not, I got a feeling that this thing could turn around on him real quick in a hurry. So the team's in a good spot now. They've ripped the Band-Aid off. The streak is over. I think the worst of it's over. They're going to be able to play Davis Webb one way or the other if things aren't going well with Eli and things will kind of – they'll just all shake out. So I think they made all the right moves and for the team and for the betterment and for moving forward. And, I just hope that I hope that everything comes out and Eli has a great game. And I hope I don't ever feel like I need to boycott the team again because that sucked.
All right, so, Chris.
Have a great day, guys.
You too, pal. Okay. Thank you very much for the call.
You know, I understand his domestic issues at home.
Yeah, but your wife called you pathetic for different reasons other than being a fan.
Wow. Well,
I've heard that too, by the way. So
oh,
people
my goodness.
In glass houses shouldn't be throwing stones.
You know, I will say this. That's a good fan, and I will say this. You know, the one thing about Giants fans, and look, there were chants of goodbye Allie many years ago when Allie Sherman was dismissed during the preseason, I might add.
Now we're dating ourselves.
Well, yes. I'm sorry,
we
but
were there.
It's
right.
History. It's yeah. Real.
100%.
Okay. We know that even there were cries for Alex Webster after he took over for a short time and actually had two winning seasons with the Giants, but then there were cries for him to be gone. I mean, these things do happen over the course of time. If you're a diehard fan, there will be moments when you're disenchanted. You'll express your views. You'll be hurting. You'll feel bad. You won't want to watch the games. I understand all of that. But it's the ebb and the flow of the natural tide of being a great fan. And here's the good news, Giants fans. Over the last 35-something years, you've had 5 Super Bowls. And you've had 4 Super Bowl champions to root for and to cheer for. You know how many other franchises would love to have that track record over that given period of time? So, yeah, the low points are always going to be miserable. I get that. But, you know,
What is compounded, I know you're going to agree with me, what is compounded, though, Paul, listen, this town, New York, the New York area, it is the best place, the absolute best place in the world to win. But for losing, it is dreadful.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And if you're losing bad, the piling on, it is it's gut-wrenching. It is really, really bad. It becomes vicious and ugly. It really does. They don't let you up for air. The media swarm, the attack could be just brutal. It is the best place to win. Just the best place to win, but it can be dreadful to lose. It really can.
Yeah, no question.
To Connecticut we go and speak with now. It's Marco back up. Are you there, Marco?
I'm here, guys. How are you?
Hey, Mark. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. So much to talk about. I'm just going to try to get through this. Russ, I enjoyed your blog post you had up the other day about everything that transpired over the last few days. That was excellent.
Thank you, pal. I really appreciate it. Anybody who's
You're
interested,
welcome.
You can check me out at russsalzberg.com. Go ahead.
There you go, buddy. Hey, quick story. Back in, I think it was the year 2000, I was in college, and there was a custodian there who was a Giants fan, and we used to catch up all the time. This is kind of pre-internet. And we would talk about upper management, and he would always bring up to me that there was a guy in the Giants front office who grew up as a scout, and someday he would be the next Giants GM. And he said he used to read about this guy through, like, an insider newsletter he had. And I was always so curious. And come to find out years later, it was Jerry Reese, and Reese was hired as the GM. And I always found that to be a really interesting story. Reese is a guy that I've always liked. He caught a lot of flack for different things, but I think overall He did a great job, and he was responsible for two Super Bowls.
A terrific football man. Was everything perfect? No. Were the mistakes made? Yes. Who doesn't make mistakes? But a terrific football man, and everybody should know that.
You know, you don't work for an organization in so many various capacities, involved in personnel for over two decades, without having a bunch of hits as well as misses, okay? Let's get realistic about it.
I mean, you know, you want to – if what's fair is fair. You want to criticize recent drafts or this and that, fine, but make sure you remember the praise. What is it, in the past decade, the past decade or past 11 years, only two teams have two Super Bowls.
Right.
Giants.
I agree.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Moving on, and I want to get to the draft a little bit, but here's what I think about the coach. After Bill Parcells, we took a few bumps here and there before a leader like Tom Coughlin was in the building. And that's not a diss on Dan Reeves or Jim Fossil, but I'm hoping, and especially now the Giants with a high draft pick, they have so much at their disposal and really can make they have options on where they want to go with the draft.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that's going to entice the best coach that they want. Anyone, truthfully, that they want, they could put in that position. They just need to find the right guy. Okay, so in 2004, before we drafted Eli, I believed at the time that a better offensive line could help Kerry Collins, who was the quarterback at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And coincidence, I feel the same way now. And I'll just tell you guys, I wanted Robert Gallery with the first pick. That was a wrong pick.
So
I wanted Gallery. And I thought if we were going to draft the quarterback, draft J.P. Wozman in the second round. But, hey, they knew better. Of course, he made a move, and thank God he did. But I just want to get your input on this. If the Giants are picking top three, how good do you think – and, Paul, I know you feel that they could trade the pick and maybe not draft the quarterback, but just let's say you're drafting that high and there's a can't-miss product like they felt about Eli back then. How good do you think Davis Webb can be, or is there anything he could show to sway the team away from drafting a quarterback in the top three?
Wow. Here's the problem with that entire equation as you presented it. The Giants know more about Davis Webb than they do any of the prospects coming out in the draft because he's lived here for the last 6 months, day to day. He's eaten his food here. He's practiced here. He's studied here. He's soaked up stuff from Eli here. He is already so far more ahead of where any rookie quarterback is going to be if they draft one in April. And they are so far ahead in knowing what his capabilities are, even though he hasn't been in a live game. They know a lot about him right now. And for me, I don't know that the equation or question that you have put on the table is actually relevant, to be perfectly honest.
Paul, wasn't Webb drafted to be in this McAdoo West Coast offense?
No, to be honest with you, Davis Webb has escapability from the pocket, but he is not what you would call a mobile quarterback. He is still a pocket passer, a drop-back passer. He operated out of the shotgun in college. The biggest adjustments he had to make. And did you get a chance to go to the games at all? I'm not being a wise guy. I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to one game this year.
All right,
I'm in tune with what's going
on. Here's what happens. Several hours before the game. Now, the gates don't open. You guys don't see that who have tickets. But several hours before game time, before the gates are open, and this happens every week, home and away, Frank Cignetti, the Giants quarterback coach, goes out there with Davis Webb, and they spend a good, 20 minutes or so going over his footwork and his dropbacks because that's something he did not do in college. The Giants have been doing this every single game day morning throughout the course of the season to try to give him as many reps and as much polish as they can on the one thing that he lacks experience in. So when I tell you he is a drop-back quarterback, that's what he is, with some escapability. So I would say to you, he was not drafted to necessarily be a West Coast offense guy who's going to run around a lot and throw dinks and dunks because he's got a cannon of an arm. He's a guy who's going to throw it deep like Eli does. In fact, I liken his skill set more to Kerry Collins than any other quarterback that I've seen in the last 20 years. He's a Kerry Collins type with more escapability. Kerry was a statue back there.
You know, Marco, another point since you bring up, you're questioning about the quarterbacks and the draft, and you brought up Jerry Reese. I mentioned this yesterday, Paul, when I was here with, David Deal. November 18th was a Saturday night. Jerry Reese was in California watching USC and UCLA, and then he took the red eye home. And sure enough, there he was on the sideline prior to the game. And, you know, I was talking to Jerry, and I said, so, boy, you got back in time. He says, yeah. I said, so what did you think about, Rosen and Donald? And Jerry looked at me, grabbed me by the arm. He said, without question, both these guys – this was a quote. Without question, both these guys have talent. Without question, both will be starters in this league. But – they both would be better off staying another year in school. That was Jerry. So what I'm saying to you is, you know, nothing's a given. You know, nothing is a given.
Russ, I'm with you, but November 18th, Jerry Reese was the GM. I mean, there's a new GM and a new head coach coming in, right?
Without question, and I'm sure that assessment is going to have to be made as well. I'm just giving you the assessment of what was about those two guys. And as you said, he's a good football man, knew what he was doing, and that was his aside. He said they're both going to be starters in the NFL.
May I throw something into this equation here that you have not addressed, but I'm going to address it right now. That's one of the reasons why when John Mara said that this move was made and in part thought that this would give the Giants a jump on getting a new GM before the end of the season when other teams might get rid of guys, I would say to you, for that very reason, it would behoove the Giants to try to get that GM within the next week or two so that he's got a little bit of time to be around this facility,
100%.
To visit with Davis Webb, to watch Davis Webb practice, to see him first up close and personal, to give that guy at least a sample of a firsthand eyewitness account of what Davis Webb brings to the table. Because if that GM comes in after the season, it's kind of late to be getting that type of experience with the kid, 100%, right?
100%.
It's perfect. Paul, that's a smart way to look at it. And I'll jump off. I've been on for a while, but I wanted to ask you guys, we know about Spags. Everyone knows Spags here. Could you just give a little description about Kevin Abrams and what the fans could learn about him? Some people in the media have been saying they were criticizing Jerry that he didn't speak that much in the media, which whatever. But with Abrams now here, they're asking maybe he could speak a little bit in these next few weeks as he's auditioning for his job. But kind of tell the fans, who is Abrams and what could they expect from a guy like him?
Well, Kevin Abrams, it's no secret. Kevin Abrams' forte, quote-unquote, the cap guy. He's the, you know, handles it all. Mm-hmm. He's the genius behind it, I'm sure. Good man, very likable guy, Canadian. Been with the team 16 years. He knows the organization very, very well. I find him to be a real gentleman, affable. You can talk to him. But in fairness to him, his job over the next, 4 weeks is not to be rubbing elbows. He can't worry about being buddy-buddy, just so somebody's going to write nice about him. A good GM doesn't do that. A good GM worries about doing their job. See, nobody writes bad things if you're not warm and fuzzy as long as you're winning. But when you're losing, if you're not warm and fuzzy, then you're a bad guy. Kevin Abrams is a good man. I would think, if he wants that position, the way John explained it, if both him and Spags choose to be candidates for their respective positions, they will be candidates for those respective positions. And that's the best I can tell you. We see what goes from there.
Yeah, Kevin came to the Giants from the NFL when he was actually part of their salary cap unit,
yeah,
if you will. And that's why the Giants actually hired him.
Yeah, he's very good.
Because they knew he was a guy in the heart of the beast, and you're not going to get a better salary cap guy than Kevin Abrams. The Giants are very fortunate that they were able to pull him out of the league office. And that is his forte. Now, has he done some evaluation of players in the past? Sure he has. But, you know, make no mistake about it. His cap stuff is what really separates him from most other people in a front office position.
Yeah, I would think, again, just my money's worth. I haven't even discussed it with you, but I would think from where I'm sitting, if there would be at this juncture on this day the favorite or the lead horse in the race to be the next GM would be Dave Gettleman. I mean, for... to me, an obvious reason. He knows the organization, highly, highly respected, as an astute evaluator of talent. Listen, it was neck and neck, was it not, Paulie, neck and neck between him and Jerry getting the Giants job. And he subsequently lost out to Jerry Reese. He ended up going down to... he turned it around, going down to Carolina, a 15-1 team, went to the Super Bowl. Inexplicably, he was fired last July. But he would be, from where I'm sitting, I'm not making that decision. I would, if that happens, I will applaud it.
Let's just say this. Given what John said about perhaps trying to get a guy in here before the end of the season, you certainly would be looking at a list of candidates if you wanted to do that, who are currently available and not tied
right
to any team, because now you have to wait until their season is over. You would lose the advantage that John was talking about.
100%. And I also think, you know, when people said making a move now, John made that move for a couple of reasons. One, he can get a head start on doing that. And two, you know what, this way, since you knew you were making that decision already and you were going to scout around – and make inquiries, it would get out, and then it would be, you know, throughout the media and this leak and that leak, and that would not have been fair to Jerry and Ben as well. So back to the phone lines we go. 201-939-4513, the number. Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go to Dan in the Poconos. Danny.
Yes, good morning or good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Dan.
Hi.
Hi. I just got a few points. I just want to vent a little to you guys. Appreciate you listening to me, and then I'll, you know, get off the line, and you'll probably be glad for that.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Why? I'll tell you. Well, first off, very glad. I'm sorry, but I am, like a lot of fans, just very glad that McAdoo is gone. My wife and I were season ticket holders for years and years. I'm in my 50s. I've been a Giants fan since the 70s, and We had it. We had, when they disrespected Eli like that, we had, you know, the boycott was on, and thank God, mm-hmm, boycott is not on anymore, you know. And my wife is, you know, so in love with Eli, and I do too, but I don't find him that kind of love, you know. But at any rate, you know, she was just so saying, oh, I hate the Giants, all this and that. I'm like, listen, there's no player who's bigger than the team. It's the team that you love. You love Eli, yes, but you still love the team.
Right.
And being that, you know, what happened to Eli was from the management, and whether or not, you know, I know it's kind of, you know, I know Mr. Maher explained what happened and stuff, but we still felt that he was so disrespected. And we kind of remember what happened with Tom, so with Mr. Coughlin. So, you know, we would just had it. But that, you know, I'm so glad that he is gone. We actually celebrated on Monday.
He's gone. So what's your point, Danny?
Right. Okay. That the fact that, you know, I'm definitely going back. And I don't think that there would have been that much negativity you touched on before if Eli gotten hurt, because obviously there was so much more of an outcry with him getting benched. Of course, they would have brought up a few stories about, oh, the O-line's
decimated.
Dan, you don't know
the Twitterverse very well,
no,
and you don't know the newspaper editors very well.
No,
trust me, they would have found a way to take
that.
A match to that. They would have done it.
Torched.
I hear you.
Right.
I hear you guys. You definitely know more than I do too, as far as that goes. But this, the one thing I wanted to say, and I want to do this respectfully, because you, Mr. Salzberg, you definitely have earned that over the years. But you always talk about how, I mean, first during the losing streak, not that it ended, but, you know, before the whole Eli thing blew up, you always say about how bad the players feel. You talk about going into the locker room, and you've never, ever seen such a sad locker room. Let me tell you, their sadness and, you know, maybe it sticks with them a little while, but it cannot compare to the fans, how we feel. Like Len mentioned that time coming down the escalator. Know it all too well. That long walk. I always park by the Performance Center, so I always park and tailgate over there. That mile-long walk of shame that we call it.
Dan, just remember one thing, Dan. Just remember one thing. Oh, and I appreciate it. You sound like a good, you and your wife sound like good, dedicated fans, okay? Very good, dedicated fans. But remember this. When you walk out of a losing game or you're going through a horrible winning streak, okay?
Losing streak.
A losing streak. Yeah, forgive me. I'm a little cockeyed. My mouth to God's ears, we should have those winning streaks again. But when you're going through that, you as a fan, you're not getting berated. You're not getting berated. You're not having the Twitter universe, Facebook. You're not having social media killing you. You're not having columns and back pages ripping you apart. The players go through that besides the losses. And I will say this again. If you made it the right stuff, is every player made it the right stuff? No. I couldn't agree with you more on that, Dan. Every player has not made it the right stuff. But the ones who have made it the right stuff, they take those losses very hard. This 2-10 team, you know, you could see it in that locker room. But the flip side is they got a job to do. So they can't be, you know, as much as they're wearing it, they got to go out and practice and get ready for the next game. So on that, I see your point, but trust me, players wear it, and they wear it very, very deeply. Coach Marvin in Delaware. Hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Russ and Paul?
Hi. Doing okay. What's up, Marv?
How y'all doing? It's just a couple of things. Well, that last caller, he can't be more wrong. I know fans are passionate, but they don't live with that pain of losing. And those guys go through it through the whole week until they can play again, and that's when it wears off when they go to play the next game. Fans, you go to work, you do your job, you do your day-to-day stuff. These guys, they got to go into that office again, and they wearing that loss all week. So I don't agree with that, but the other point I had was I heard people saying that they're glad that Eli, kind of relieved that Eli's streak is over, and kind of disagree with that, too. I mean, that streak was somewhat important. It wasn't as important as the team and them winning or losing, but it has some importance to it, dude. If it didn't, you wouldn't see it on television saying, well, it's the second longest or how long he's been doing it. And the guy's reliable, so it's important to him. And so if it's important to him, I think it's important to should be somewhat important to all of us.
Hey, Marvin, may I add one thing to that? I hope that Eli Manning is able to finish out his career. I hope it's with the Giants. I really do. And I hope by the time he is ready to hang them up, we can say that he never missed a start because of injury during his career. That would still be a pretty proud thing for him to be able to say. And that can't be taken away from him as long as he's able to finish out his destiny in that regard.
I agree with that. I mean, I was just thinking of this streak itself. It's like saying Cal Ripken's, and you waited till Cal Ripken had 50 games left and then you gave him a day off. I mean, the streak ain't going to look the same. But I understand what you're saying. But I'm not going to stay on that too long. The other thing we were talking, I heard Paul was talking about quarterbacks and what the Giants should. I think Paul was one that said he wouldn't draft one of these guys.
Correct.
I probably wouldn't draft one myself. I do. The two top guys, I think they're okay. I think they're pretty good. But for some reason, I fell this week for Mayfield.
Yes, Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma.
I think this kid is a playmaker, but I probably wouldn't draft him either. I think with the picks they have, with Eli, with Davis Webb, the things they can do with it, if they can get the second pick or the third pick, that's a loaded pick. You can draft down and you stay in the top 10. You can get your offensive lineman or anybody you want from that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that team that trades up going to have to give you at least four picks at the least. And what's going to happen is you're going to get their next year's number one. So you stockpile those number ones. And I load up where I can utilize good players. I can get a lineman in the first round, somehow draft my way back in the bottom half of the first round, and I can get a playmaking running back. And if I could, or I can wait to the second round, because I think Love and those guys are playmakers. So you have a unique running back, an offensive lineman to go with tight end and Beckham, and you know, and you got Eli on there. And then you can do whatever you want with that second round pick, because that's going to be a high second round pick. And my other thought is that first round you get next year, you can always pass that along until Eli's gone because you got Davis Webb.
Marvin, you know,
you can keep passing that. You can keep passing that first round every year until you get the quarterback you want. Until Eli knows he's gone. By that time, you'll know what Davis Webb is.
Mm-hmm.
So you hold on to that pick like the Patriots used to do. They used to always stockpile their number ones until they got what they wanted with that number one, and they can hold on to that for a couple of years until Eli retires, or unless they find out what Davis Webb is. If Davis Webb ain't what it is, then it, wherever they're drafting, that number, that second first round, they got enough ammunition to move up to get whoever they want at that point.
Marvin, I love the fact, and let me just say this. If you had not told us that you were a football coach, okay, I would know, because the intelligence of your phone call just bleeds through. Okay, you obviously love the game. You know a lot about the game. You understand the game. It is such a pleasure to have a phone call like you come on the program. It really is. I mean that. Okay, you're talking my language, and it's great. I would say one thing. I'm not necessarily sure about taking a running back low in the first round. I think I'd probably want to get an impact guy in the front seven on defense, to be honest with you, because they are so incredibly paper thin at linebacker. If they could get themselves a real impact linebacker, that would probably be a pick for me before I went for a running back. But everything else you said, I'm totally on board with.
Marvin, let me just ask you this question. You know, you bring out a great point, but again, when you're looking at the quarterbacks, so I'm just throwing out the names, like you said, Mayfield and Darnold and Rosen. I think if I'm the GM or his, you know, pro personnel people, then if you're getting in that line of thinking, then the assessment you have to make, okay, I'm looking at the quarterbacks, where are they in their growth, and how much of an impact can they make, or how long will it take them to make an impact in year one, two, three, whatever it is. At the same time, while you might see somebody is an offensive lineman, or that you're real interested in, or a guy for the front seven or whatever, then you got to make that assessment. Where are they? Are they the right guys? You know, not just because they're an offensive lineman,
right. Are
they the right offensive lineman? You know, this is a huge draft.
They got to be right.
The Giants
they
have
sure
to
do.
Be right.
Well, I think what Marvin is presenting is an outline of a plan, assuming that there are appropriate prospects worth the value of those picks. Right, Marvin?
Yes, that's what I'm basing on. Because with the draft, it's a crapshoot anyway.
No question.
It's a win or lose. It's no guaranteed wins when you pick any of these guys. I'm looking at it in the sense, you got Eli Manning. You can stock. You can. All you need is maybe one offensive lineman, maybe somebody later. Somebody to give that line some rhythm. Or the kid out of Notre Dame playing guard, maybe you go down a little further in that round where you can pick up that guard. But what I'm saying is, if you can do some improvement with your offensive line, all you need is one guy. I mean, the offensive line needs to be done, but you're not going to do it in one draft.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. And if you want to go free agency and try to get another offensive lineman, that's fine, too, if you can afford to do that. But I'm looking at it in a sense, the only reason I picked the running back, because I'm looking at the ones like Barkley, you won't be able to get them. You won't be able to draft down and get them, because I think Barkley's going to go in the top five.
Yeah.
But what happened is Barkley is a game changer. So you're now finding every now and then, it's not a lot. I agree with Paul. You can wait later and get them. But every now and then, one of those dudes shows up, and Barkley is that guy, but I don't think we're going to get him. Love is a guy that can do some of the same things, but you can get past him, too. You got Kerryon, the guy out of Auburn, who's a good running back. You can get him later in the round, and I agree with Paul. He says linebacker. I say defensive end. I would love to see. They're stacked this year with defensive ends this year.
Defensive front seven qualifies as a linebacker or a D-end. You want the biggest impact guy you can get there.
That's right.
And to me, whether or not he's a defensive end or a linebacker is not as relevant as he needs to be an impact guy in that front seven.
Well, you know what, Coach Marvin, what I think I'm going to do, as soon as our show ends, we're going to, Paul and I are going to go up and see John Mara and throw your hat in the ring as a prospective coach GM. Maybe you should wear both hats.
Marvin, here's the biggest problem, though. Just remember this. Every time that I talk about guys who the Giants should get in the draft, you know this, every April, another team scaps them up before the Giants can. So you and I, we better talk off the air because we're going to wind up getting players stolen away from the Giants.
I agree, Paul. That's why you need to be quiet, because you're giving away plans. So you got to be quiet and talk to the front office and give them what you think.
There you go.
Coach Mark.
I appreciate you guys. I appreciate the fans calling. You guys do a great job.
Always a pleasure, buddy.
Sometimes when the fans come down on you guys, because you're just the messenger. You're not going to solve the problem.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Marvin.
Appreciate it, pal. Thank you. He's a great caller.
He's a great caller.
Good guy, too. Good guy, too.
Great caller.
Lots of wisdom. 201-939-4513. Kind of winding things down here. Let's go to Lawrence down in Florida. Lawrence, how are we doing today?
I'm fine. How are you? Thanks for having me.
All right. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Okay. I'm a big Giant fan. I go back to the to Y.A. Tittle days. I'm still upset about the Giants losing 14-10 to Billy Wade, the Chicago Bears in 63.
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right. You're going to get me started. They racked Y.A.'s knee in that game, okay? The windy conditions made it impossible for him to throw the ball. Never mind that drop pass in the end zone that we're not even going to talk about.
Al Sharpner.
Yes. I don't want to talk about that, though. You had to bring it up.
That was 63?
Yeah, I'm so upset about that. But anyway, and then in the beginning of the season when they got Marshall and the tight end,
right,
and Beckham and the blocking tight end, I was so excited. I thought it wasn't even going to be fair for these other teams. I'm going, there's nothing to be fair for these other teams. Giants are going to be breaking defensive records this year.
Right, we all thought that.
We know what happened.
Yes.
But last week when that thing happened with Eli, I was so upset. That was the worst thing to me that's happened to the Giants since they traded Sam Hart for Andy Santula and Dickie James. And
see, that's the game he's talking about. You see that photo?
You're dating yourself, Lawrence.
Oh, it's horrible.
Continue, my friend.
Yeah, but anyway, you know, like I said, I'm a big fan. I was on the Ray Perkins TV show and all this stuff. I got a Giant training camp every year, and I was so upset. And the worst team I hate is the Cowboys. So Jerry Jones, Jerry's World, the God looks in, the whole baloney.
Why did I know he was going to say that?
I was going to root for the Giants to beat. I mean, the Cowboys to beat the Giants, I was so shook up. Now I came to my senses.
Yeah,
that was my original, you know, like when you can love something so much, you can hate it just as much, too. And I got so mad, I was bombastic.
Lawrence, hold on. You got to tell me, where are you from originally?
I'm from Long Island. I remember back in the 60s, the people used to go on their roofs to turn the TV antennas to Connecticut to get the home game.
Channel 3 in Connecticut.
In Connecticut.
I also remember, like people would drive out of the city on Sundays for the home games to go to Connecticut. A bunch of guys would go into a motel room to watch a game.
Yeah, get a motel.
Right.
And I'm a big fan. Like, I was down in Rio de Janeiro on vacation one time back in the 80s. And Sunday was coming. I cut my vacation short just to come home and watch the Giant game. And then this year, when that first game, they had the Hurricane coming here against the Cowboys, I went and got a generator so I wouldn't miss the Cowboys opening game. I was so shook up. And then, I didn't want to talk. I'm too shook up. Now you get me all worked up.
Lawrence, this is great. This is great. We're so glad to have you on the program. And, again, I just remind people, for fans who have been as passionate as you have, for decade after decade after decade, the ups have been much, much more enjoyable than the downs, obviously. But I think you would also agree they've been worth every second of it.
Lawrence, may I ask how old you are?
Oh, I'm 66.
Well, thanks for checking in with us.
Okay, thank you, Lawrence. Appreciate it, buddy.
Wow. Good stuff.
Boy, I'll tell you what. How old did he say he was?
66.
To 66. I mean, he's got a memory like he's going back.
Well, you know, Russ.
I mean, he was like a kid.
I tell people all the time, I remember vividly events of the 1970 season when I was only 6 years old. And I can remember plays and listening to the radio and watching things. I mean,
I think you remember plays in the womb. That's where I think you remember plays.
Well, you know, if that were the case, then while I was in there with my X-ray vision peeking outside, I would have seen YA all bloodied against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think that was the case. I think your dad probably put a transistor radio on mom's belly.
Yes.
That was that.
There you go with Marty Glickman.
Yeah. All right. We're getting ready to wrap things up. Let's go locally, and let's go to Dylan in New York. Dylan, how you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Hi.
Well, the whole, you know, hot topic's been about Eli and stuff. And actually this past week I finally decided to – I sent in a letter to Mr. Morrow and Eli because I – for one, I felt bad, you know, because, I mean, I've been watching for – all my life, and I'm 20 years old, so, you know, I followed the Giants ever since Eli, so, you know, Eli's kind of been, you know, like my quarterback, and seeing, like, everything he's done for the organization and then just kind of, you know, throwing him under the bus like that was kind of, you know, like, I guess heartbreaking for all of his fans, and, you know, and then seeing, like, Geno come in, and it was a big change, and I guess my question is, because, you know, obviously there's the coaching change and GM change. Do you think, because a lot of people were thinking, you know, the media was saying this is Eli's, you know, last time with the Giants, or, you know, where could he land in 2018?
I think, Dylan, people, don't mean to cut you up, but we're getting close on time. We're going to wrap things up. I think the situation is a lot of people are speculating, and I know what you're talking about. You know, because that's a headline. Where could he go next year? First of all, I don't think there is any foregone conclusion on Eli Manning. I don't think that was the case with Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese if they were still here. I think the situation was we still have to see what we got. We all agreed that it was bungled. But believe me, my friend, if you're telling me you're 20 years old and Eli's what you grew up with, I mean, you've had Eli then basically since you're 6 or 7 years old. Listen, you're going to go through – it happens. Your favorite guys, at one point or another, they leave. You know, there were favorites. Yep. Phil Simms was a favorite. A lot of guys were favorites. It just happens. I think the assessment – I think it's too soon to figure out. I think, number one, we don't know who the GM's going to be. I think when the GM comes in and a coach comes in, then the discussion is – what do you think? Where do we think? Do we think this is the right fit? Do we think that's the right fit? What do we want to do with the draft? I think it's too early to tell Dylan on that situation. I mean, your questioning certainly makes sense, but there's no way of knowing at this juncture.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, they drafted, like, Davis Webb, and I remember the last preseason game, you know, he had that, like, game-winning drive, and for me, that kind of showed like, I guess, promise. I mean, he brought the team down the field. You know, Rosas kicked the game-winning field goal. And it was just kind of like a bright spot, you know?
Yeah, just remember, though, and listen, we like Davis Webb. But, you know, I think we were discussing it that week after that. He was bringing the team down the field. And thanks for the call, Dylan. He was bringing the team down the field against second and third stringers. So, you know, that's why – in fairness, this whole thing, the whole Eli thing blew up. It was bungled. We get it. But you can't blame anybody for wanting to look at quarterbacks. Eli is my all-time favorite athlete to cover since I'm in the business. All-time favorite athlete. So, but wanting to look at other quarterbacks, he's not going to be there forever. And you know what? If you don't look, then you're not doing your job either. That's what the situation becomes. But it was a very lot of good calls today, my friend. A lot of passion, a lot of young and old fans alike. But we got a new week coming up, a new Sunday, and I suggest you go out and support Big Blue. But for now, that's a goodbye here on Big Blue Kickoff. For my buddy Paul Dottino, Paulie Dots, I'm Russ Salzberg. We'll see you next time.